Merry Christmas. I don't know about you, but I love this season every year. I love coming into the church and seeing this kind of decoration, which is unique, and you really only see it at this time of the year. I love singing Christmas carols, something that amazes me that for hundreds of years, millions of people all over the world have been singing the same carols, and it will go on like that until Jesus actually returns. Younger people here, we love Christmas because of gifts. I have two children at home. They are 3 and 5. They love Christmas gifts, and they are very much looking forward to receiving them this week. And I also love Christmas because it's the time of the year when we remind each other of the Christmas story, how the angel visited Mary and told her that she will have a child. How Joseph and Mary had to travel for a long time, and then they couldn't find a place to stay, so baby Jesus had to be born in a stable and had to be laid in a manger. How shepherds saw angels, and how they, in faith, went to see baby Jesus and recognized him for who he is. How wise men traveled from a far country and brought gifts to this newborn king. Most of us are probably quite familiar with the Christmas story. So if I ask you the question, whose birthday are we celebrating? You would probably be very quick to answer, well, that's obvious. It's Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about, right? Well, the question that I want to ask today is, do we really know? Do we really know who this baby Jesus is? Do we really know who he turned out to be? Do we really know what he claimed? And do we really know how he is relevant to our past, to our present, and to our future? And I want to look at this baby Jesus and who he turned out to be in more detail today. First of all, I do want to look at historic evidence of Jesus' life, because many people believe that Jesus is just a mythical figure and just made up, someone like Harry Potter, and then someone just mistakenly thought that it's real. Well, no serious historian would agree with this opinion. The following facts about Jesus were written by early non-Christian sources, many of them being completely opposed to Jesus and his teaching. But they confirm, Jesus was from Nazareth. He lived a wise and a virtuous life. Jesus was crucified in Palestine under Pontius Pilate during the reign of Tiberius Caesar at Passover time, being considered the Jewish king. Jesus was believed by his disciples to have died and risen from the dead 3 days later. Jesus' enemies acknowledged that he performed unusual feats they called sorcery. Jesus' small band of disciples multiplied rapidly, spreading as far as Rome. And his disciples denied polytheism, lived moral lives, and worshiped Christ as God. Encyclopedia Britannica cites these various secular accounts of Jesus' life as convincing proof of his existence. They say these independent accounts prove that in ancient times, even the opponents of Christianity never doubted the historicity of Jesus. So there is no doubt that he actually existed. And then there's the most important aspect of his life, his death and his resurrection. Many people get caught up in the peripherals, and they start looking at Christianity at the moral teaching, or maybe the authenticity of the Bible and all these things. And then they can't find the proper answers, and they give up. But I think that's the wrong place to start. I think the first question we should look at is, did Jesus really die and rise again from the dead? If no, everything else about Christianity doesn't matter. But if yes, I believe it gives a lot of credibility to Jesus and his claims. Many people who look at historic evidence of Jesus' death and resurrection actually come to the conclusion that it's true. One of the most notable cases is that of Gilbert West and Lord Lyttelton, two eminent lawyers in the 18th century England. West set out to write a book disproving the conversion of Paul, while Lyttelton sought to disprove the resurrection of Christ. Both of them did historic research trying to disprove the gospel stories. And by looking at historic evidence, they changed their minds. And they came to the conclusion that actually Jesus did live, die, and rise again from the dead. And both of them wrote their books, but they wrote their books now supporting and proving the gospel stories rather than disproving them. Most people who say that Jesus never existed or the resurrection didn't happen would have to admit that they are ignorant of the evidence that is available to anyone who looks at historic evidence of Jesus' life. So I want to ask you that question again. Whose birthday are you celebrating? But Jesus was not just a historic figure. His influence continued throughout the last 2,000 years. More books have been written about Jesus than about any other person in history. Nations have used his words as the bedrock of their governments. According to Durant, the triumph of Christ was the beginning of democracy. His Sermon on the Mount established a new paradigm in ethics and morals. Schools, hospitals, and humanitarian works have been founded in his name. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and Oxford are but a few universities that have Christians to thank for their beginnings. The elevated role of women in Western culture traces its roots back to Jesus. Women in Jesus' day were considered inferior and virtual non-persons until his teaching was followed. Slavery was abolished in Britain and America due to Jesus' teaching that each human life is valuable. Former drug and alcohol dependents, prostitutes, and others seeking purpose in life claim him as the explanation for their changed lives. 2 billion people call themselves Christians. While some are Christian by name only, others continue to impact our culture by teaching Jesus' principles that all life is valuable and we are to love one another. Now, to make his impact more remarkable, Jesus did all this in a period of 3 years of public ministry. That's all it took him to change the world and influence the world like this for over the next 2,000 years. And then there is his impact on our society today. We are in the year 2013, close to the year 2014. Christians and non-Christian countries alike measure time against this very event that we are celebrating, the birth of Jesus. It's the year 2013 AD, the year of the Lord. Christians and non-Christian countries alike use time and measure it against this very event. 160 countries officially celebrate Christmas. Do you know anyone else's birthday who is still remembered 100, 200, or maybe 500 years after his death? Jesus' birthday is celebrated 2,000 years later by most of the world's population. That's his impact on us today. So without a doubt, Jesus was a very influential historic person. But that's not really my main focus today. The main question is Jesus more than just a historic person? Well, let me just go straight to the point. Jesus believed to be a human being whose identity is God. He said things like, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." In other words, has seen God. "I and my Father, I and God, are one." There are many things that Jesus said about himself, like this, that made it clear that he believed to be a human being whose identity is God. And the people who listened to him at the time fully understood his claims. That's why they responded to him by saying things like, "For good works we stone you not, but for blasphemy, and because that you, being a man, make yourself God." At his crucifixion, they said about him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." In John 5, they said, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." So Jesus obviously claimed to be God, and the people fully understood his claims. Now, that only leaves us with three possibilities, as C.S. Lewis described it. He said, one possibility would be Jesus was evil. He was one of the most, or probably the most evil person who ever lived in history. He purposely deceived everyone who came across him. And he told everyone, I'm the Son of God, fully knowing that he was not. If that was him, then he was probably far worse than Hitler, far worse than Stalin, or anyone else that we would consider an evil person in history. That's one possibility. Second possibility, he was deluded. He was insane. He was confused. He was just crazy. He believed what he taught, but it wasn't true. He was wrong about his own identity. And he just happened to become the most influential, deluded person who has ever lived. That's the second possibility. Or the third possibility, it was true. And he is exactly who he says he is. And we have to make our choice which of these three possibilities we believe in. Because no matter which of these three we choose, it has consequences. So let me ask you again, whose birthday are you celebrating? The birthday of the most evil person who ever existed? The birthday of a madman, of a deluded man, of a crazy man, who was completely confused about his own identity? Or are you celebrating the birthday of the Son of God? We have to make our choice and deal with the consequences. Because if we choose that he was evil or deluded, I believe we should have nothing to do with him. We should not celebrate Christmas. We should not be in church. And we should not follow his teachings. Because he was a very negative person. But if we choose that he is who he said he is, that he is the Son of God, it also has consequences. We need to follow him, and we need to do what he says. So let's look at some more claims that he made. He claimed that he will determine where everybody will spend eternity. We tend not to talk about it a lot, but simple fact is, 100 years from now, none of us is going to be around any longer. And the question is, where will we go? What's going to happen to us after we die? Jesus claimed that he will decide where you and I will be going. One day, you and I will stand before him, and he will decide whether we can go to heaven or whether we have to go to hell. That's what he claimed. And he said there is no other way. Good works cannot save us. Religiosity cannot save us. Only he, as a person, can save us. That's not my teaching. That's his claim. Maybe he was wrong about that. Then he was evil or deluded. And again, then we should have nothing to do with Christianity. Or he was right. And no matter what we believe about him, it has consequences. And we have to deal with the consequences of what he taught. Jesus also claimed to be the only way to heaven. And that also has consequences. And mainly it's this. Christianity and other religions are absolutely incompatible. Many people believe that Christianity is just another form of Buddhism, or that the moral teaching is very similar, and that's why all religions are more or less the same. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus made Christianity and other religions absolutely incompatible. Maybe Jesus was wrong about it. Maybe he was evil or deluded. Then Christianity as a whole is wrong. Or he was right. He is who he says he is, and he is the only way to heaven. And if he is, then all other religions are wrong. There is no middle ground for that. Again, that's not my teaching. That's what Jesus taught. And we have to deal with the consequences of what he said. A person who claims that all religions are more or less the same would really have to admit that he or she doesn't really know what Christianity is all about and what Jesus taught. Every other religion teaches, do good and earn a better life. Christianity teaches, acknowledge that you are not good. Say sorry, and God will give you a better life as a gift. That's a total different approach to salvation. Many people get offended by this, and they say Christians are intolerant towards others. Well, not really. We are simply following the teaching that Jesus gave us. And Jesus made Christianity and other religions absolutely incompatible. So let me ask you again. Whose birthday are you celebrating? The birthday of an evil or deluded person? Or the birthday of the Son of God? And does our lifestyle and our daily lives, does it confirm what we believe in? And then there are a few things that Jesus didn't leave open. Jesus' claim made it impossible to be a cultural Christian. Many people think that simply praying a sinner's prayer is enough. Well, that's not what Jesus said. His definition of being his follower was quite radical. He said things like, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yeah, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He is saying, if we want to be his follower, we have to be wholehearted about him. And our love towards him has to exceed our love for our family and even our own lives. And be willing to give that up, if necessary. He said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus was saying, there's nothing wrong with having earthly wealth, nothing wrong with having possessions, but we can never love money and possessions more than him. He is saying, if we are not making him number one in our lives, then we might be fooling ourselves and not truly be his disciples. Many people think that in order to go to heaven, we simply have to pray a sinner's prayer, or we go to church every week, or read our Bible, or being born in a Christian country or family, or having been baptized, and that will get us to heaven. That's not at all what Jesus taught. His definition was quite different. Many people say, I know Jesus. Surely that gets me to heaven, right? No. Again, that's not what he said. Let me just give you this example. If I go to the White House in the U.S. and I knock at the door and I say to the guards, I know Barack Obama, do you think they'll let me in? I don't think so. My claim of knowing him doesn't make any difference. But if a friend of Barack Obama was knocking at the door and Obama was looking down and saying, hey, I know that guy. He's a friend of mine. Let him in. Then the door will be opened. And that's exactly the difference when it comes to us going to heaven as well. Us saying, I know Jesus, doesn't make any difference. But if Jesus knows us, and he says, I know that man, I know that woman, he believes in me, let him in, then the door will be opened. The question is not, do you know Jesus? The question is, does Jesus know you? Something completely different. Another thing Jesus did not leave open to us, it's impossible that Jesus is only for some people, some cultures, and some ethnicities. Jesus claimed to judge every single human being. Maybe he was wrong about that. Maybe he was evil or deluded. But in that case, he's not going to judge anyone. And he is absolutely unimportant, except for the fact that he was a very influential historic figure. But if he was right about that, he's going to judge everyone. And he's going to judge everyone. He's going to judge you. And he's going to judge me. No matter what culture you come from, no matter what religion you were born into, according to the worldly system, either Jesus judges all of us or none of us. but certainly not just some of us. There are only these two possibilities, and we have to make our decisions, whether we put him in the evil or deluded category, or whether we believe him to be the Son of God, and then deal with the consequences. Looking at all the things Jesus said and taught, I think we have to admit that there are two common beliefs that are impossible. First of all, it's impossible that Jesus was a great moral teacher. If Jesus was wrong about what he said, he was evil or deluded, and he was certainly not a great moral teacher. But if he was right about what he said, he was not just a great moral teacher. Then he is much more than that. Then he is the judge of the universe. For the same reason, he cannot be simply an influential historic figure. If he was deceptive, knowingly or unknowingly, evil or deluded, then nothing he did, nothing he taught, matters anymore. Then he's just someone in the past who has ceased to exist, and we shouldn't care about him any longer. Or he is who he says he is. And then he is the dividing line of eternity. And he will decide where you and I spend eternity. But there is no middle ground. So let me ask you again. Whose birthday are you celebrating? Another thing that he claimed is that his followers live in a love relationship with him. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's driven by love. God gave his son Jesus for us because he loves us. God still reveals his love to us personally today. We can experience his love. And as we experience God's love, we love him and we love one another. Christianity is not about do good to be accepted by God. Instead, Christians respond to the love that they receive from God, and they naturally do good. And as people experience God's love, their lives change. Over the last few weeks in preparation for this weekend, I've been asking around the Alpha family, and I've been asking some people, whose birthday are you celebrating? And these are some of the answers that I got back. One person said, I celebrate the birth of the one who gives ultimate hope and miraculously saved my marriage. Another person said, I'm celebrating the birthday of my God who freed me from addictions, forgives me for my past, and loves me without any conditions. He holds me in his arms when I'm too weak to stand on my own, my only hope in life's storms, here to help me whenever I call his name. I love you, Jesus. Another person said, I'm celebrating the birth of the one that through loving me in a way that no one ever will, showed me to love myself like I never did before and showed me what true love is. Another person said, I celebrate the birth of the one who changes my heart and gives me barrier-free love. Another person said, I'm celebrating the birthday of the one who heals my heart and makes me new. And the last one, I'm celebrating the birthday of the one who is my Savior and brought me new meaning of life when I was in the deepest, darkest valley of my life. Many of these people we have met when they were in that before stage, when they were lost, when they were in the darkest valleys of their lives, and when they had no hope and were bound to addictions and all kinds of things. And it's such a joy to see how they have changed over months and years that we know some of these people. To see how real God is and how he has changed their lives and how this love relationship that they have with God now, how what great difference it makes to their lives every single day and to their future. Is that the kind of person you're looking for? Someone who can change your life in the way that he changed the lives of these people who wrote these quotes. He can do the same for you if you let him. So let me ask you again, whose birthday are you celebrating? So why did I share these things today? Well, I share these things because over the years I realized that too many people don't really deal with Jesus' claims and the implications of his claims. Many people just look at Jesus, the person of Jesus, and his claims in a very superficial way, in a cultural way, and they don't really know what he actually said, what he actually taught, and what he did not leave open to us. And they think of Jesus as a person who is actually not at all. Earlier I said Jesus claimed to be God. Either he was evil or deluded. And if that's the case, we really shouldn't have anything to do with him. Then we shouldn't be a church, we shouldn't read our Bible, and we certainly should not celebrate Christmas. And if that's the case, I would suggest you shouldn't be here today. Because these Christians who worship an evil or deluded person are probably as evil or deluded as Jesus himself was. And I certainly don't encourage anyone to get involved with these kind of people. The other possibility is, it was true. And he actually is who he said he is. And if that's the case, then we really have to consider everything that he said. Then he is the person who will judge you and me. And he will decide where you and I spend eternity. Whether we will go to a wonderful place called heaven, or whether we will go to a terrible place called hell. And once we are there, there is no way back. And today, I want all of us to make a choice, a personal choice, a choice that no one else can make for you. You have to make your choice who you think this baby Jesus is. I have to make a choice for my own life. No one else can do that for you. There are probably three kinds of responses here in this room right now. Some of us, we will say, yes, I do believe in Jesus. You know what Jesus taught. You believe what he taught. And you made that decision, yes, I want to be his follower. And you do live in a relationship with him. If that is you, then I really want to encourage you, and including myself, I'm speaking to myself here as well, then truly follow him with all your heart. Truly follow him with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And make his name known throughout your circle of influence. Use this season. We are spending so much time, so much money, and so much energy on bringing Christmas gifts, physical gifts, to other people. Nothing wrong with that. But how about if we use this time to share with someone the greatest gift of all? Share with someone who Jesus is. Give a book to someone and ask that person, do you want to read it? It's about Jesus and about the true meaning of Christmas. Maybe inviting someone to a Christmas service here. Maybe inviting someone to Alpha. Maybe just inviting someone to church next week. Giving someone the chance to receive the gift that we have received. Earlier, we sang that song, Send Revival Fire. And while we were singing that song, I was feeling that God was asking me that question. Are we doing our part? If we want revival here in Shanghai, if we want revival in SCF, if we want the city to be taken over by Jesus, are we doing our part? Are we praying for the lost? Are we giving the lost a chance to hear the gospel? We can sing all we want, but we also have to do our part. So some of us believe in Jesus. Now some of us choose to reject him. Some people choose to just reject all the evidence that is available about Jesus. They choose to reject his claims, and they just don't really deal with the consequences for various reasons. And if that is you, I'm sorry to say this, I can't help you. Everybody has to make his or her own choice, and if that is the choice that you make for yourself, then there's nothing we can do. And I'm just hoping and praying that one day you will reconsider. But then there is a third group of people that might be surprised by what I said. Maybe today you realize you don't really know enough about this Jesus to come to your own conclusion on who this man actually is and whose birthday we are actually celebrating. Maybe you never realized that Jesus actually claimed to be God and he claimed to judge the world, including you and me. Maybe you just consider Jesus as a great moral teacher and today you realize that can't really be the case. Maybe you consider Christianity as one of many valid religions and today you realize that they are actually incompatible. Maybe you thought Jesus is only for Western people. And today you realize either he's for everyone or he's for no one, but certainly not for some people groups. Maybe you thought that going to church, reading Bible and praying, being religious, is all there is to being a Christian. And today you realize, I don't really live in a relationship with this Jesus. Maybe you thought doing good is at the core of Christianity, and now you realize that's not the case. At the core of Christianity is a person, not moral teaching. And if you fall in this category, you will probably have a lot of questions. And in that case, I just want to encourage you, find out more. Talk with someone here after the service. There will be people available. The prayer team will be here. Pastor Dale will be here. I will be here. We would love to help you find some of the answers to the questions that you might have. If you want something more structured, more long-term, you can join Alpha. Over a period of 3 months, we will look at Jesus, his claims, and what it means to be a Christian. And that's a wonderful place where you can have a lot of time, come to your own conclusions, and ask a lot of questions that you might have. Do something. Find out for yourself. Find out what Jesus taught. Decide for yourself whether you think he's evil or deluded, or he is the Son of God. And then deal with the consequences of your choice. Either reject him completely or follow him. But don't stay in the middle, because there is no middle ground. So to close today's message, I personally believe that Jesus is the dividing line of history. And we have to make our choice. Some people choose to reject him as evil or deluded. Some people choose to live in ignorance of the evidence of his life and the claims that he made. Others embrace him as their personal savior. I've made my choice, but so must you. So in case you're wondering, whose birthday am I celebrating? I personally say I'm celebrating the birth of the man who took me when I was lost, desperate, and making a total mess of my life, put me back on the right path, gave me meaning and purpose and hope. So my closing question to you all once again, whose birthday are you celebrating? May we pray. Father, thank you for this special time. Thank you for Christmas. And thank you for this season that we can remember Jesus' birth, his first coming. And thank you for the hope that there is a second coming, when Jesus will come to establish a new heaven and a new earth. And Lord, we pray that these days, this Christmas season, this Christmas week that we are entering, Lord, we pray that we will have a new revelation of who you truly are. Not the cultural Jesus, not the Jesus that we hear about in news and advertisement and all these things and that people around us talk about. But Lord, we pray that in this season, in this week, we will have a deeper revelation of who you truly are. Not who we think you are, but who you truly are. And we pray, Lord, that for those of us who call ourselves Christians, who call ourselves your followers, we pray, Lord, that you will give us the courage and the wisdom and the strength to share with others and to share that wonderful gift that you have given us and give other people the chance to receive that very same gift, to receive eternal life from you. So, Lord, help us to come back to you and worship you for who you are, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.